This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
If life makes sense, it's always easier to ask a congregation a question which the majority of you know will not raise their hands than the other way around. Raise your hand if you knew 10 or 20 years ago that you'd be here today doing what you're doing today. Just knew exactly it was going to turn out this way. Okay, nobody's got their hand raised. It's amazing. This life that we've been given. I remember talking last week about this idea of being in the cornfield. When you're in a cornfield, you can't see anything around you except corn. And to try to get out of the cornfield, it's very difficult, especially in cloudy day, no sun, you don't know right from left, up from down, north, south, east, west. Only God's perspective knows where you are, where you need to go. Our lives are full of decisions. Life is made up of decision making. We make decisions every day. Every day we're making decisions. We wake up and we decide whether we're going to hit the snooze button one more time. Some of us hit it more often than we should. We decide what outfit we're going to wear for the day. We decide where we're going to do. How we're going to use our time. Some of the decisions are very just everyday, simple. You saw it coming. I'm going to decide to have breakfast and go to work. I'm going to decide to do this at my job. I'm going to decide to do this with my family. Other decisions are not so easy. Sometimes life comes knocking at your door, and a decision you have to make is very difficult. Imagine we as Christians can enter into a phase of life, an existence with our God, in which the decisions that we make are right and good and according to His will. Rather than wrong, not according to His will. Imagine we can enter into an existence with the Lord, a phase, an overarching point. I'm not saying a point of perfection, but just this overarching sphere of our lives in which the decisions, whether they are the small, insignificant, seemingly arbitrary, to the monumental, big deal decisions we have to make are ones that they are aligned and connected to our God and our Creator, led by His Spirit according to His will. That's the kind of life I want to live. Now raise your hand if that's the kind of life you want to live. Amen. I'd like to take you halfway between Nazareth and Jerusalem. Nazareth in the north, where our Lord Jesus Christ grew up. Jerusalem in the south, where our Lord Jesus Christ died. Halfway in between is this area in the Bible called Shechem, in a valley. It's not called Shechem nowadays. Nablus or something like that. In Shechem, there's this valley. On either side of the valley are two mountains connected to a ridge. The one mountain is called Gerizim or Gerizim. The other mount is called Ebal. Now, I've never been there. I've seen pictures, but they say traditionally Mount Gerizim is full of lush greenery and life. whereas Mount Ebal is more rocky and barren. And these are not ordinary mountains. They're not tall. There's about a mile in between them. They're not huge, but there's something about their shape that is noticeable. You see, right at the heart of Shechem, in this city, right when these mountains turn up, on either side are these two concave chunks out of the mountain, if you will. At the foot of the mountain, these two areas that have a shape to them. And when you stand in the center of those two concave shapes, you can hear somebody speaking, whether they're on this side or whether they're on that side. It's a natural amphitheater. There's this effect that when you speak loudly from one mountain, it shoots down into the valley and bounces off the other mountain and bounces back and forth. Or if you're in the center, you can speak and it bounces off. This is where we're going. It's very significant that the Lord brought the children of Israel to this point. You see, what's going on in our text is God led the Israelites through the desert for 40 years, and they're getting ready to cross over the Jordan, they're getting ready to conquer the land of Canaan. And at this point in Deuteronomy, they haven't crossed. Moses is still there. And God tells Moses, you're going to cross the river, and you're going to conquer the land through Joshua. Moses won't, but the people are going. I want the people to go to Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, and they're going to stand there. Half the tribes are going to go to one mount. Half the tribes are going to go to the other mount, and the Levites are going to stand in the middle and read something. And we read in our text what those somethings were. God gave Moses a list of blessings and cursings. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, starting in verse 11, God says to Moses, or Moses commanded the people, saying, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have crossed. And he lists the six tribes that will be over there. And then the other half will stand on Mount Ebal. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice. And this is what he commanded them to say. The Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the works of the hands of the craftsmen, and sets it up in secret. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. And it goes into different activities of a sexual nature, and it goes on to different activities of greed, and it's that refrain, all the people shall say, Amen. And then in chapter 28, it switches to this list of blessings. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully all his commandments that I command you, blessed shall be you in your city, and blessed shall be you in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. And it goes on and on and on as you read these. It's a list of blessings, a list of cursings. And it goes all the way on to chapter 28, chapter 30, verse 20. This huge list. And so God gave Moses this command Moses conferred this command to Joshua. Moses died on Mount Nebo. The people crossed the Jordan. Jericho happens. Ai happens. And then the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 8 that they went to Mount Gerizim. They went to Mount Ebo, and they did what they were commanded. And they read this. So I'd like for you to picture in your mind that you're there among the people. Are you on Mount Gerizim? Are you on Mount Ebal? Are you one of the Levites in the center? Picture you're there. And then the Levites open up the book, and as you stand in that scene, you hear the words, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you, and go after other gods." And you hear the words of those blessings and cursings, and you hear the climax of this reading. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." Decisions. How can we reach that point where we choose life? What does this, what happened in the Old Testament, mean for us today? There were four observations I want to share with you, but I have to give two pieces of groundwork to set things up. The first thing is that to understand decision making, when it comes to this choice of life or death, you have to understand that that is something God has given us. This capacity of choosing, it's called free will. Now, free will is not the ability to surprise God. Free will is not the ability to thwart the purposes of God. Free will is not the ability to cause our own salvation. But God has given us this capacity to choose because of this. God wants your love for Him to be genuine. We love because He first loved us. I was working at a job this past week, and we were building a shed. And while I was inside that shed putting together the slider door, the owner and his father-in-law came there to watch, and they were just sitting there watching as I worked. All of a sudden, as I was working, I heard the words of a little girl say, "Daddy!" And I was still working. I didn't look up, but I heard the voice of the little girl say, "Daddy, I love you so much. You make me so happy." And that little girl ran up to her father, and he picked her up, and he said, "Come here, baby." Picked her up in his arms. And as I was working, the tears started to kind of swell up in my mind, and I said, "Oh God, isn't that what you want from your children? That freedom to say to our Father in heaven, 'Abba, you make me so happy. I love you.'" Now imagine if you found out afterwards, or if I found out afterwards, that that little girl was actually not a little girl, but a little robotic device that they created to say those kinds of things. It would destroy the whole idea of that free love. So when it comes to, and we're going to talk about this dynamic of love with decision making, but you have to understand that first. And secondly, what happens in the Old Testament with this blessing and cursing is a changed paradigm for us. We are in this New Testament. Christ has fulfilled the law, and so there's a different paradigm for us. What happened with the Israelites in that valley, with those mounts, was a picture, a representation for us to learn from. You see, God told them, if you obey me, these physical blessings will happen in your life. And if you disobey me, these physical cursings will happen in your life. And that was a picture for a season, for the Old Testament, that for us in the new relationship we have with God through Christ, it's such that if we obey God by faith with the strength He gives, if we submit to His will and this relationship happens, then blessings will come upon us, but it may not be physical blessings. It's of a spiritual nature, which is more important. Now, mind you, God will bless us with physical things as we obey Him and follow His word. But it's not the same idea that if you obey God, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and everything's going to go well for you. The New Testament does not guarantee that for God's children. He guarantees blessings for obedience, but it's of a different nature. And the same thing with the cursings. We're not in a relationship with God that if we disobey God, He's going to send the curse of judgment upon us. And we're going to suffer condemnation. No, we're forgiven. And we're in Christ. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if we live a life as a child of God in constant disobedience, going against His will, those blessings are removed. We'll experience a shriveling of our Christian lives. There won't be the joy of the Lord. Things will seem disjointed. So as we dig into this, these two things have to be kept in mind, that the nature of God giving us a choice that is not over and against His power, but under what He has given, and the new nature in the New Testament with us as believers in the Lord Jesus versus what we're going to read. So there we are in the valley. There we hear the words. What can we see? First observation. As the Levites make this declaration, they say that the decision is set before you. And the decision is set before me. They say, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a cursing. This is something that God wants us to individualize in our own lives. God is not saying, I set before your parent. God is not saying, I set before your friend who invited you. God is not saying, I set before your spouse. God is saying, I set before you. And imagine you're in that scene and you're on that mountain and the Levites give that call and it resonates throughout the amphitheater. Those words fall upon the ears of every single person. I set before you. And as believers in the Lord Jesus, we need to come to grips that this call of following our God and submitting to Him and walking in His ways must fall upon us. It can't be somebody else. We are responsible before God for how we respond to His call in our lives. And you want to know something? Isn't it our nature to want to point to somebody else for the responsibility? When we eat the fruit, isn't it in our nature to say, well, the serpent? When we eat the fruit, isn't it the nature to say, well, my wife? Well, the circumstance that came into my life, you know, is so overwhelming. Well, you know, because I was going through these things, it just happened, you know. I think when it comes to the decision making, I think we need to come to grips that I decide. whether what God has laid before me is a path I'm going to step in or not. The second observation I want you to see is that God says the decision is set before you today. The decision is set before you today. And I think that's interesting. Because this idea of, you know, following the Lord and obeying the Lord was something that was they were pointing towards when they conquered the land and established themselves. But yet the command says, I am setting this before you today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. And when I think about that, and I start getting into this idea of time. I just want you to know that the elders of this church love talking about the nature of time. We get wrapped up in it and we probably waste some time doing it. But think about this command of today. You see, when a decision is brought before you and before me, whether we're going to follow the Lord, submit to Him, it's not something that could be decided yesterday. Because yesterday is not today. And when we think about a decision that's going to come before us tomorrow, the decision will technically not be made tomorrow. Because when tomorrow comes, it won't be tomorrow, it will be today. You see. You'll never really be there. Because when you get there, you're not there, you're here. And you'll never be really in the tomorrow, because when the tomorrow comes, you're going to be here today. And so what that speaks to me and to you is that in our walk with the Lord and the decisions that He comes before us are decisions that are in the now, in the moment, and we have to ask God, give us strength, help us to decide. We can't put it off, and if we've made the decision, we can't go back. So you and I need to come to grips with the Lord. Lord, am I going to decide to follow You, submit to You, welcome Your work in my life today? When you wake up tomorrow and it's Monday and the whole week is ahead, all the activities that you have to do, all the uncertainties, all the responsibilities, all the certainties of everyday life, when you wake up, you say, today is the day the Lord has made. And as you go about your day and you make these decisions and these relationships you have with people, you and I have to come to grips with now, today, is a day where I can be a witness for Christ. Now, today is a day that I can make right that wrong that I did yesterday. Today is a day that I can plan for what I know is coming tomorrow. And the best way for you and I to come to grips with that reality of today is to be in a constant connection to our God, who is in the, I don't even know what you call it, the now, the then, the tomorrow, the yesterday, the today. And the more you and I are connected with our Creator, who is in a different relationship to time than we are, that I don't understand, the more we're connected with our God, the more we understand the moment ahead of us. I have two quotes as you go down the stairs on our wall. There is one by Elizabeth Elliot and one by Jim Elliot. And the two are side by side, and Elizabeth Elliot says, God does not deny us our heart's desire except to give us something better. That's one I've struggled with. But this one I have too. This is by Jim Elliot. He said this. He said, wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you are, be all there. And the moment that God has you in, be there. Be conscious of His being there with you. Be conscious of the surroundings around you. Be conscious of the decision that is set before you. You and I are here now in this church. Wherever you are, be all there. What does God want you to do in the now, in the moment, in the today? The next observation that we see from this scene, God tells us through these Levites that are making this proclamation, He says, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a cursing." We observe that there's an advantage and a disadvantage. We observe that there's a path with a fork in the road. Behold, I set before you today an advantage and a disadvantage. And you know something? I really wish that there was a neutral. I really do. Wouldn't it be great, brothers and sisters, if when it comes to walking with the Lord, that yes, there were decisions that were in His will, according to His will, and were right. And yes, there were decisions that were not according to His will, maybe not morally wrong, but just wasn't His will and wrong. Wouldn't it be nice if there was like this middle ground of just neutral, just a wash, you know? That we can make decisions that really, it doesn't have any eternal impact at all. It doesn't have any bearing on our lives and our relationships with God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, for me, because then I feel like, okay, maybe I didn't make the right decision, but at least it doesn't have any effect on anything. But there's no third option. God tells us, today I set before you one or the other. So what does this mean for us, this idea of cursing, this idea of blessing? Well, in the Old Testament, God laid it out. If you follow my commands, these things are going to happen. The blessings. He said, if you follow my commands, your ground is going to be fertile. You're going to have lots of children. You're going to be healthy in your body. You're going to be wealthy with your assets. It will be a good existence in Israel. And then he talked about the cursing. If you don't follow these commandments and you go after other gods and you sin against me, then the ground underneath you is going to turn dry and won't yield its fruit. Your bodies are going to be afflicted. Nations are going to come infiltrate your society. You're going to be exported to other nations. You're going to go through famine, droughts. That was the paradigm that God had as a picture for us in the New Testament. That when we walk with the Lord and we're in this sphere of obedience, when we climb Mount Gerizim and we're in the sphere where the Lord Jesus is sitting at the top and we come at His feet and we're here on Gerizim, what happens is that the fertility of the ground and the blessings of the fruitfulness of life, it is an internal reality that grows. So that you and I are more connected with our Creator. That you and I have more joy of the Lord, which is our strength. That you and I have a more awareness of how we are to walk with the Lord in our day-to-day lives. The more we submit to His will, the more we cultivate this relationship that we have, the more the internal reality of our souls are blessed. There's a blessing. However, if we choose not to follow the Lord, if we choose to go against His leading and promptings, if we act according to our sinful impulses in the moment, if we act according to the wisdom of the world, what's going to happen is that inside in our souls there'll be a shriveling, a dryness. The fruit of the Spirit will not be produced. There'll be a fogginess when we pray, when we read the Bible, the richness of the life of the Word of God will not jump out to us as much. And you know why God does that? Why He allows that? So that we wake up and we say, I'm on the wrong mountain. I need to climb down. I need to go through the valley, and I need to be over here where the Lord Jesus is sitting. He wasn't there. I tried it. There was no life. Jesus is there on Mount Gerizim. But what about these decisions that we seem are not moral decisions, like, you know, what brand of toothpaste to purchase and all that? I mean, does that incorporate, is this in this? Yes! You see, because the more we're in with the Lord and connected to Him, the more He's guiding our every move and every decision. So the brand of toothpaste is not what matters. What matters is, what's our current state with the Lord Jesus? The New Testament has a version of this blessing and cursing in Galatians. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You see. Now, I will say this. Obedience or disobedience to our Creator, God, will have implications in the world around us. There will be a change of society as society disobeys. There will be an effect that rebellion against God will have. But for us as Christians, what matters most is the internal reality of our soul and how that comes out into our everyday lives, our everyday finances, our everyday health, our everyday relationships. Those things are pictures of what's going on in here. The decision involves advantage or disadvantage. Fourthly and lastly, and most importantly, because you and I, if we're in the scene, we're there in the valley of Shechem, and we're hearing these blessings and cursings, and you and I are probably thinking to ourselves, okay, I heard the blessing, I heard the cursing, I want to be in Gerizim. So I have to obey the commandments of the Lord, okay? Moses gave us all these commandments where we got to sacrifice to the Lord and go to Jerusalem 3 times a year, and we got to make sure we don't eat these things, and we do eat these things, and we got to make sure that we don't have relations in this kind of a way, and we got to make sure that if this happens in our bodies, we got to bring the turtle doves, and I got to make sure I obey the Lord God. And so there's this tension, this struggle of, okay, I want to be in obedience, but all these rules and laws and these do's and don'ts, it's overwhelming. How can I live a life that is in the way of Gerizim? You and I are not Old Testament Jews living in that side of a situation, but I'm sure you, along with I, have the same struggle of, you wake up and you say, okay, I have to have this prayer life with the Lord, and I got to make sure I'm memorizing God's word, and I want to read my Bible, and I have to come to church and make sure I'm being an encouragement and a fellowship and a witness, and I got to share the gospel, and I'm supposed to be a person who wants to serve those who are being oppressed by evil, and I have to make sure that I'm alleviating the suffering of society around me, and I've got to do all these things, and if I don't do them, I'm going to be an evil, and I want to be in Gerizim, so I have to make sure I'm doing it, and I got these rules and these rules and these do's and don'ts. Do you struggle with that? Is that the kind of experience you ever had? I know I have. And God gives us the key. In our text in the Old Testament, after the list of blessings and cursings, at the very tail end, all the do's and don'ts and implications, the very tail end, God says this in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God. that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life. And as you read Deuteronomy, you constantly come across this idea of you shall love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God. And there was one day when Jesus was on this earth. And let me tell you, the Jews at that time were going through that struggle of how do I obey the Lord? What is right for me to do? And Jesus was there and He was teaching, and there was a scribe who was an expert in the law. He went up to Jesus and he said, I have studied the scripture since I was a boy. I've got them memorized. I know all the rules and regulations that we to obey. You tell me, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus looked at him. And I imagine all the Jews in that scene are there and they're just pin drop silence. Because they're all thinking, which one is it, Jesus? Which one is it? Is it to sacrifice the lamb? Is it to not cut your hair? Which one is it? Is it to pray? Is it to memorize the word? What is it, Jesus? And He looked at them and He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And He even added one more. He said, and the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For you and I as Christians, if we want to be on Gerizim, there has to be an intimate, real, not fake church stuff, an intimate, real, abiding, consistent, constant relationship built on love with our Father God. If you come to God as that little girl ran to her daddy, and you talk to God, and you allow God to work in your life, you'll find yourself on the peak of Gerizim. And the do's and don'ts won't be in the forefront of your mind. The Lord Jesus Christ will. And when He says, come follow me, you say, yes, Lord. That's the key. The abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know very well that's true, because when you have experienced a marriage relationship, when you stand before that person, you know very well that those vows that are exchanged only make sense if there is that love, sacrificial love between the two. It's the same with our God. The obedience, the following Him makes most sense when there's that love that we have with Him. So you and I are there in the valley, brothers and sisters, and we've heard the command. Today I set before you a blessing and a cursing. Today's a decision. What will you choose? What will you choose tomorrow? What will you choose the next day? The greatest decision that is presented before mankind is the one to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says that God is drawing all men to Himself. And He's at work in our hearts. And if we don't know Him as Lord and Savior, we don't have that relationship, that love relationship. There's no like marriage covenant, if you will. There's no official connection. There's something separate. So you and I have to come to that decision. Jesus died for our sins to give us salvation. We can't earn it. We can't do it ourselves. It's a free gift. But we have to come before God who is offering us, drawing us, working in our hearts, and we have to humbly say to ourselves, I don't want this life that I am living. This life can die. I choose life that you are offering, Father God. Maybe somebody here hasn't made that choice yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and to enter into this relationship with the Father. You can here this morning. You call upon God. You say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I repent of my sin. I turn to you for salvation. Forgive me. Cleanse me. I'm yours. He will save you. He will seal you with his Holy Spirit. And he'll lead you up Mount Gerizim, which is the place we want to be. Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for these two mountains that give us encouragement to follow you, to walk in your ways. I ask you, Father God, to please forgive me when I have found myself unable. Maybe somebody here this morning is realizing that there is a decision they have made recently that found themselves unable. Dear Lord God, would you cast that rope? Send us down that mountain and up to where you are. And help us in our daily lives to love you so we know how to decide to follow you. We love you. We glorify your name. Help us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.